A product of General Mills presents Joan Blaine in Valiant Lady. And here is Art Millis.
It seems to me I read somewhere that this generation of young folks is taller than the last. Have you read that? Well, young people have a better chance these days because so much has been learned about proper care for children. How many times have you thanked your lucky stars that you know this or that about child rearing? Such as what foods to provide. And tell me, haven't you thanked your lucky stars it's so easy to get a child to eat lots of nourishing whole wheat the Wheaties way? I'm sure a mother regards a youngster's breakfast in this light. First and foremost, it must be nourishing. Second, it should taste good. Isn't that correct? Now, of course, to a child, it's good taste first and last. But Wheaties do a neat job of meeting all requirements. Wheaties are real whole wheat. In other words, plumb full of food energy, the fuel a youngster uses so much of during those growing years. And then, too, there are good proteins, which are sometimes called the building stones of muscle tissue. Also in Wheaties, there are the minerals, phosphorus and iron, and vitamin B. And remember, won't you, that the claims made for Wheaties in the advertising are accepted by the American Medical Association's Council on Food. Now, aren't you thinking, well, I'm certainly glad my Johnny likes Wheaties so well. Likes them? Well, I should think so. Wheaties are whole wheat in big, crunchy flakes. The flakes are nipped up with sugar and salt and malt syrup, and they're toasted to a cheerful golden brown. Now, you just roll the Wheaties out of the package, pour on milk or cream, add some strawberries, and that youngster or grown-up, why, they'll be crazy about Wheaties. Now, how's your supply, by the way? Don't you need to order Wheaties, W-H-E-A-T-I-E-S, today? Again, the true life story of our valiant lady, Joan Barrett. Joan's artist friend, Paul Morrison, is the object of a malicious whispering campaign, linking him with the girl Irene and her baby daughter. Joan fears that she may have sown the seeds of a new scandal. For last night, Joan was at the wheel of Paul's car when it ran out of gas in Lover's Lane, and when a moment later another car crashed into it. Fortunately, no one was hurt, and when Chief of Police Homer Woodring appeared on the scene, he agreed that the story should be suppressed. So perhaps all will yet be well. At any rate, Mike and Stevie seem calm enough the next afternoon as they sit on the Barrett front porch.
Mike, there's the Pine River Review. You get it, will you, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
My laps are full of work baskets and darning needles and spools of thread. I'm afraid to move.
Oh, don't apologize, Stevie. Us Boy Scouts, we get credit for a good deed. Hey,
thank you.
You being so busy and all, maybe I could kind of run through the headlines and read you anything that looks interesting.
My, two good deeds in one day.
Yeah, I ought to get my Eagle badge pretty soon.
Oh, you go on.
Well, shall I or shan't I?
Yes, do it, Mike. You know, I can keep right on going.
Okay. Let's see now. Oh. Here's a story about the Playhouse Rally.
Mrs. Gillespie patting herself on the back, I suppose.
I reckon so. Yes. Quotes her saying that her theater building will be ready in 2 or 3 weeks. And that her subscription campaign has already gone over the top.
And not a word about it being Joan's idea in the first place?
No. Oh, by the way, Stevie, how'd Joan and Paul Morrison get along at the rally?
Just about as I thought they would. They were ignored. Whispers and lifted eyebrows all around them.
I was afraid of that.
Joan was furious about it. She can't say I didn't warn her not to go.
Hello, Sylvia.
Oh, it's Paul now.
Hello, Paul. You here again?
Yeah. And if I may be so bold as to inquire...
She's in the living room.
Thanks, Stevie. Quite a mind reader, aren't you?
Well, I didn't think you came to see us. Go on if you're in the front of
it. Okay, it'll be your fault if Joan throws me out, barging in this way without any warning.
Boy, oh boy. Now, that's a beauty if I ever saw one.
Who, Paul?
No, Paul's eye.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, now you know what a shiner is, Stevie. Mm. It's when it's black in the middle, with circles of purple and green and yellow sort of tapering out to the edge, you know. He ain't said no more about how he got it, huh?
No. That's what I told you before. I said he bumped into a door.
Well, if anybody was to ask me...
I'm ashamed to think of Jones appearing in public with him and him looking like that. Oh, dear, it can't be helped now. Well, what else is in the paper?
Well, here it tells about Tubby's speech to the County Medical Association over to Miles City.
Yeah.
Pete Tolliver's new barn burned down last night. She says...
Well, go on.
Oh, sorry, I got thinking about something else. Stevie.
Yes?
Say, if Joan's doing any worrying, you know, about what happened last night, that car wreck, I mean...
Now, who told you?
Why, I...
If that loudmouth Homer Woodring's been blowing off steam about
now,
it, why...
Now, calm yourself,
well...
Stevie. No, Jim told me himself.
Oh.
And I just want you to know that we got everything fixed, okay?
What do you mean, fixed?
We towed them two cars to Brill's garage. And Shorty Brill, him being a friend of mine, he'll fix them up without advertising it round town.
Good for you, Mike.
Well, and then this here Mars fella, the salesman.
Yeah.
You know, the drummer that smashed into him. Well, I reckon he won't say nothing for fear of losing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Just to play safe, Homer, he's going to keep him in the jug.
Yeah.
Going to keep him in the lockup till his car's ready and then sort of escort him on his way.
I see.
And at that, he's getting off lucky without a jail sentence for drunken driving.
And then with any luck on our side, that story won't ever come out.
That's what we're counting on, yep.
Mike, to borrow one of your pet expressions, it was just bad ding nice of you to help us out like that.
Oh, I didn't do nothing.
Why, of course you did.
Uh-huh, more company,
huh? Huh? Oh, yes. Hello, Tubby.
Hello there.
Mike's just reading something about you a minute ago.
Yeah, right up here, your speech. Tubby.
Yes, Mike?
Turn around here a minute.
What for?
I just want to see what...
Hi, Tubby Scott. You too?
Me too what?
I'll be dad dinged if I don't think I'm seeing double.
Your eye, Tubby, your eye. Don't tell me you made a speech before the Medical Association looking like that.
Well, yes, Stevie. I couldn't very well back out the last minute. Then, too, it wasn't quite so noticeable last night.
I should hope not. How did it happen, Tubby?
Well, you see, there was a burnt-out light bulb in my office, and I was fumbling around in there in the dark.
Uh-huh.
The door was standing open, and I ran into it.
Oh, Tubby.
Seeing double one minute and hearing double the next. See, ain't you young squirts got any originality nowadays?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, your twin brother's inside.
My twin brother?
Yes, Paul Morrison, Tubby. He's got a black eye very much like yours.
Yeah, he got it the same way, too. Off in the door.
Yes.
Very interesting. I don't know anything about his eye, and I don't care to. But if you... don't like the way I've explained mine.
Oh, I ain't got no objection.
Well, then.
But, say, Stevie, I'm thinking that somebody ought to report these here ferocious, bloodthirsty doors that go around shocking people.
I think so, too, Mike.
Yes, they're a menace to the community. Menace to the community. Yes, sir, the mayor ought to put one of my railroad stop signals, or at least a red lantern in front of them. Then...
consider yourself ignored, Mike.
Oh, yes, Joan.
When Toby gets here, will you...
He's here now, Joan.
Oh, hello. I'm glad you're here, Toby. I was just... why, Toby... God, your eyes.
Now, don't say it. I just had a good going over from Mike and Stevie here.
This is too much. Come on into the house and meet another one-eyed giant.
Hey, Joe.
Yes, Mike?
Better sort of steer him past that door. It might sneak up on his blind side and take another poke at him.
That'll be about enough from you, Mike.
Paul?
Here, will you let me, Joan?
You mind coming out here into the hall?
Okay, coming out. What have I done now? Dr. Scott, Mr. Morrison.
Mr. Morrison, Dr. Scott. Well, if we're all going to be so formal about it, Mr. Morrison, will you oblige Miss Barrett by stepping over here beside Dr. Scott?
No, Joan.
If you say so, Joan. What is it again?
Never mind. Just do as I tell you.
Okay. How's this?
Very good, thank you. Now, will you both kindly turn around and face the mirror?
Hmm? Huh?
Yes, hanging right there behind you.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to have you meet two very fine young men. A well-known doctor, distinguished artist, who look like a pair of one-eyed pirates. Aren't they handsome?
Oh, don't I know how I look?
Oh, me too. I don't see the necessity of rubbing it in.
Well, if you've seen enough, let's go back into the living room, shall we?
All right.
Now, suppose you tell me what really happened.
Well, wait.
Huh? Let's agree right from the start that the open door story has been worked to death. It never happens really, except in comic strips and joke books.
Oh.
Very old ones, of course.
Oh.
Now, let's proceed from there.
Well, it seems to me
one at a time, please. You first, Teddy?
Well, I,
Nothing to say. All right, Paul?
Huh? Oh. Well, I was just thinking...
Well, gee, John, we had a fight.
Yeah, that's right.
A fight?
Yes, John. Paul and I got into a bit of an argument.
Oh, Cubby,
yeah,
I...
Yeah, and one thing led to another.
No, it was my fault in the first place.
Well, I beg your pardon. It was my
fault. Well, just now, I'm
worried. Well, I guess I know who started what. I was the one who came barging in out of your place.
Well, I was the one who took the first swing.
Oh, but I was the one who started shooting off my mouth.
Now, listen, Scott, if anybody's going to be a martyr here, it's me.
Well, who's talking about martyrs? I'm saying I started the fight.
Well, the devil you did when words came to blows, the responsibility was all...
Mine.
Oh, stop it. I don't care who started the fight anyway.
Well, what happened, Jonas?
Listen to me, please. You know very well that this town is fairly boiling with gossip and scandal. A little more and it will boil over. The whole town's against us. It's just Father and Susie and Mike, bless his heart, and then the three of us against all the rest. If there was ever a time when we could stick together...
You're right, John.
Absolutely. No time for bickering. Shake, Cubby.
Right.
Let's have your hand too, John.
My hand?
Yep. Fire line. That's the way. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, I give you... The Three Musketeers of Pine River. All for one and one for all.
Seems to me this calls for a celebration.
You said it.
What do we do?
Well, I could set two extra plates at the table.
No, too tame. Isn't there a famous barbecue stand out on the Elkton Road?
Yes.
We'll drive out in your car, Tubby. Mine's laid out.
Sure.
Swell. We'll order five large beef.
Five?
Why, yes. Three to eat and two for the black eye.
Oh, yes, baby. Will you step out here into the hall? Oh, surely, Phoebe. Excuse me, just a minute.
Oh, sure.
Come on.
Joan, was there anybody besides Homer Woodring who knew about the accident last night?
Oh, I don't think so.
Phoebe, you don't mean here.
Read this in today's review. Miss Joan Barrett and Mr. Paul Morrison escaped injury last night when their car parked in... Phoebe.
Just a few moments ago, Joan herself said that a little more scandal would make the town boil over. And here it is. The publicity the whole family has been most anxious to avoid. Who gave this story to the newspapers? And what will happen now that it's there for all Pine River to read? At any rate, Tubby and Paul are back on friendly terms, and that's something. Joan proves herself quite an expert as a peacemaker, don't you think so? Perhaps that's the role at which women naturally excel. I expect that every mother finds herself called upon at times to act as a peacemaker. It's only natural that up-and-coming youngsters should quarrel now and then, perhaps get temperamental about such things as necessary rest and necessary food. But with Wheaties on your breakfast table, there'll be no fussing or holding back if your youngsters are like many others. Wheaties are fun to eat, because they're so light and crisp and crunchy. And when your youngsters dig in with all that old enthusiasm, you'll have the pleasure of knowing they're getting real whole wheat. A Wheaties breakfast is a nourishing breakfast of whole wheat with all its food, energy, and good protein. Also with minerals and vitamin B. So better keep supplied with Wheaties, don't you think so? Your grocer is just waiting to hand you a package or two of Wheaties today. Don't miss Valiant Lady tomorrow when Mike makes the rounds. This is your announcer, Art Millett.